This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The New York Times has just come out with its top 10 books of 2012, a list upon which authors love to appear given the venerable reputation of the Times Sunday Book Review and the fact that millions of readers will likely consult the list as they do their holiday shopping. But this year, the book editors at the scrappier Huffington Post are saying bah humbug to the Times, critiquing its list as unimaginative, predictable, and flavored by a large dash of been there, done that. And so the HuffPost editors recently put out their antidote to the Times picks. For example, instead of the so-called great man biographies like Robert Caro's 3,000-page work on Lyndon Johnson or yet another Kennedy book, the HuffPost selects books that it says tell remarkable stories of ordinary people with titles like New York Nights or It Chooses You. These dueling book lists join the dozens of others published this time of year of the best books to give or to get this holiday season. And today in The Exchange, we add in with our own New Hampshire booksellers' favorites, what they and their staffs are reading, and what their customers are asking for. It's our annual holiday book show on The Exchange, and let's hear from you. What do you think are among the best new books to give or to get this season? Also, if you're looking for someone on your list, do you need an idea of a particular type of book? Give us a call. We can probably help you out. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. Our booksellers are Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And Michael, great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura. Great to be back.
Also with us, Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Dan, good to see you too. Welcome back.
Happy Hanukkah, Laura.
Well, Dan, how much stock do you put in these end-of-the-year book lists? I mean, it isn't just the New York Times or the Huffington Post's Great Antidote. There's Publishers Weekly. There's, you know, oh my goodness, it's hard to keep track.
Well, it's a wonderful time of year because the lists are coming out and the prizes are being given out, National Book Award, the Booker Prize. And I love it because there's this incredible conversation that's really sprouted online about books that kind of takes the place of everyone's been decrying the lack of book review space in newspapers over the years. Well, it's kind of irrelevant now because there's this amazing conversation happening about books online. So it's great.
So when people come into your store, Michael, are they sometimes holding these book lists?
Oh, a lot. A lot
really?
Of the time they'll come in waving the list. So did you see this book on the New York Times list? And you know, I have to disagree with Dan just a little bit. I do think that print journalism in the longer form, you know, still has a place. And I wish there was more space for serious reviews in national media. But he's right about the, you know, just the national conversation that springs up around these lists. And controversy is a good thing. It means people care. People are still passionate about books, which is great.
Well, in controversy, I mean, often these lists agree with each other, but sometimes they disagree. How much, yep. Dan, do you find yourself disagreeing with a lot on the list, like this little spat between the New York Times and the Huffington Post? I mean, the Huffington Post, are they making a good point? Come on, New York Times. You know, this is so predictable.
Well, I just love that there's controversy because controversy sells. So, I love the Times list. Is it more predictable than normal? Maybe. I think the HuffPost has a point this year. But there have been past years where the New York Times Book Review has done these great, like one year they decided to choose all but one of the books was published by Knopf. And they highlighted the fact that Knopf was this amazing powerhouse literary publisher. So they've done a great job in the past. Maybe they fell down a little bit this year. But the HuffPost is there to pick us up. It's great.
Right.
Also, they have their roles to fill. You know, the New York Times is the great lady. They're very conscious of their role in the national media. New York Times is the great lady. And the HuffPost is conscious of their role, which is, the up-and-comer. You know, the kid that's going to knock off the great lady.
Well, it's interesting because in that article that they did, they had the New York Times book, this, you know, for example, the new biography of Joseph Kennedy. And then they said, you know, if you find this boring and predictable, here's what we recommend.
Right.
So
sure.
that was fun.
That's the function we have in the bookstore. You know, if you think this looks a little tedious, here's six other books you can take a look at.
Our phone number, I want to remind everybody to join us, is 1-800-892-6477. And I also want to remind you that Michael and Dan, Their lists of their favorite books for 2012 are on our website already. And along with any other book that comes up in our conversation today, we'll put that on the website as well, nhpr.org. You can find it there. And gentlemen, let's dive into the list. I've got them here in the studio. And again, they're online, nhpr.org. Not much overlap between the two of you this year. And that's great because it gives us more to talk about. But there are three picks that you share in fiction. So let's dive into those first. And Dan, they are Sweet Tooth by Ian McEwan, The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich, and Flight Behavior by Barbara Kingsolver. So three well-known fiction writers.
Yeah, I mean, the Kingsolvers, I mean, she's an independent bookselling favorite. That makes sense that there's overlap. The book that I, and Ian McEwan, same thing. He's the English version of Barbara Kingsolver in a way. but the book that I would love to talk about is Louise Erdrich's The Roundhouse. Used to be a New Hampshire native or a New Hampshire resident and then moved back to Minnesota. But this book has, it won the National Book Award. Philip Roth, in his retirement interview in the New York Times, said, they asked him, well, what are you doing now? He said, I'm reading a lot. Which is wonderful. For all those years, I really didn't read enough because I was writing my own work. And they asked him, what have you enjoyed lately? And he mentioned three or four books, but the book he singled out for effusive praise was Louise Erdrich's The Roundhouse.
Wow.
This is a book that everyone needs to read. And it's also two of our booksellers, Stephanie Kuiper and Liz Whaley, have read it. It really is just, it may be her masterwork.
And as you said, an author with New Hampshire connections, lived for a time in the Dartmouth area. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, on this book too, I mean, Louise Erdrich has a reputation for some degree of difficulty, which, you know, she has these multi-voice narratives and sometimes it's hard to keep track and, you know, definitely a postmodernist feel to it. But this is it's a simple narrative. There's one narrator. It's a simple but searing story. And it's also got its flashes of humor. It'll remind some readers of like Stephen King's wonderful story Stand By Me. It's even got, you know, like a sub theme of like Star Trek The Next Generation running through it. It's a very interesting book and very well written, a really good novel and a great gift for a lot of different types of reader.
Wow. And can you give me quickly, Dan, a rundown of the Kingsolver book? She's another favorite.
Well, in this book, there's a woman protagonist, as is often the case in Barbara Kingsolver's book, and she's bored with her life. And she sets off up the mountain behind her house one morning to meet a younger man and start an affair, and thus it begins. So it's great Barbara Kingsolver. You know, someone's life takes a turn, and all of a sudden they're in unknown territory. And
there's a theme of climate change running through this one. It's a woman, you know, she's transformed by sort of a miraculous event on a hillside while she's on this journey that Dan's talking about. So
wow.
And, you know, this is our bestseller in fiction so far this year of books that we haven't had events with.
Wow.
This is our bestseller, Flight Behavior.
Yeah, and it came in just a few weeks ago,
and it's
flying out of the store. Everyone has to read the new Barbara Kingsolver.
And not only that, I mean, you know, this is the gift show, and this is like a great gift for a lot of different types of people. It's sort of, I don't want to use the phrase no-brainer because that's antithetical to what we're talking about, books. But you know, it's just almost an automatic gift. So you ought to get this for somebody.
All right. Our phone number again is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, it's our annual holiday book show on The Exchange. And we want to hear from you. If you've heard about a new book out there that's getting some buzz and you have some questions about it, our booksellers can probably tell you what you need to know. Also, if you just need some ideas about books for giving or getting this holiday season, again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And again, Michael and Dan's lists are on our website, nhpr.org. So a little bit of overlap, guys, in the fiction category. Michael, what about nonfiction? What's selling well? What do you like this season?
Well, what do I like? I don't know. I like selling books. but one book that's come to my attention, you know, people say, well, what's the new political book? Right. And, you know, we can go there now.
Sure. Although people are, boy, sick of politics. I can't imagine anybody
would want to read a political book. That's right. But what they're doing is instead of reading books about contemporary politics, now they're trying to understand the current situation by reaching back into history. And one book that we've been selling a lot of is called The Caning. The subtitle is The Assault That Drove America to Civil War by Stephen Pulio. And in 1856, there was a confrontation on the Senate floor between South Carolina senator and Senator Charles Sumner from Massachusetts. And Sumner was beaten with a cane and had to be hospitalized. It was a very dramatic symbol, really, of the tensions that were driving the country to civil war. And I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing that that people should be reading today, just to maybe avoid some kind of bizarre recurrence of that.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because often when people lament the state of our politics and people, trash talking each other on the floors of Congress,
it could always be worse.
They say it could always be worse, and that's what they refer to. So
sure,
I'm glad you brought that up. Any political books, Dan, in your bookstore, or are people just done?
Well, for us, again, I think people are looking at history books now, because, as you say, contemporary politics, we've had quite a fill of that recently. And so the two books that we're selling well are Kevin Phillips' 1775, A Good Year for Revolution, which is an answer to David McCullough's 1776. Phillips is saying, no, 1776 wasn't the critical year. It was 1775, because that was the year that the colonists kicked the British out of government and established home rule from the ground up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Whole cloth. It's a fascinating book. Kevin Phillips has a long history in politics and writing history. He was in Nixon's White House. He helped Nixon formulate the meme, the silent majority, that Nixon used so effectively, and then Reagan later turned into his Southern strategy. So Kevin Phillips has been there at the creation of politics, and now he's going back. He's sick of politics, and he wants to find the roots of the conflicts in our political system. Wonderful book. And the other wonderful book that we're selling is by Walter Starr, who is actually an Exeter resident. He has a book called Seward. Seward, of course, was Lincoln's indispensable man. And that book has received rave reviews, Wall Street Journal, New Yorker, local New Hampshire guy. But he's written the book about Seward.
Oh, the author's a New Hampshire guy. I didn't know that.
He lives in Exeter, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Seward being Lincoln's Secretary of State. And
correct.
Maybe after the break, guys, we can talk about whether the new Lincoln movie has ramped up sales of Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. Came out a long time ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, but the movie has revived interest in that book. So we'll talk about that after a short break and start taking your calls. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. Keep it right here.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and more of our annual holiday book show on the exchange on NHPR, then at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, the mortgage interest deduction, and the U.S. housing market. New Hampshire weather today, rain at times across southern New Hampshire, highs 50 to 55 degrees. Central and northern New Hampshire will see some snow, sleet, and freezing rain, changing to rain this afternoon. Some areas could see anywhere from 1 to 4 inches of snow, highs today 40 to 45 degrees. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Core Gastroenterology of Exeter, offering comprehensive care in the evaluation and treatment of gastrointestinal disorders. CorePhysicians.org, the art of wellness. From New Hampshire Catholic Charities, transforming lives with vital programs that empower, assist, and heal. More information online at nh-cc.org. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Horace Ports of Portugal, including Warrior and Otima 10-year-old Tawny Port, on the web at vineyardbrands.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show. We're talking about the best books of 2012. Two New Hampshire independent booksellers are giving us their favorites, and we want to hear what books are on your list. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org. And by the way, at our website, nhpr.org, you can see the top picks of our guests. We'll also put up the names of any book mentioned today on the program. One more time, that number is 1-800-892-6477. And Michael Herman, Dan Chartrand, just before the break, I was asking you if the new Lincoln movie, based on a couple chapters in Doris Kearns Goodwin's Team of Rivals book, is adding new life to sales of that book, even though it's been out for some time. Michael, are people asking for this again based on the movie or not?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of neck and neck whether people are buying the book with the movie art or the traditional art. We always root for the traditional art because, I don't know, we're just book people.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, they bring out a special edition that has a cover that features movie art. Like
they've
got Daniel Day-Lewis on the cover of this version. And then there's the older version just with the actual team of rivals.
Booksellers always steer customers away from the movie tie-in.
Even
edition.
Though we carry them both.
It's ephemeral.
Yeah.
It's ephemeral. It's about a certain time, and it's not timeless like books should be.
Okay, so since we're talking about movies, The Hobbit, is that, because that's a movie that's coming out or I think is already out. Is that reviving interest?
Oh, yeah. We actually have a big Hobbit display at the store with all the books, you know, all the Tolkien and, you know, books that are, you know, derivative of Tolkien.
Yeah. Dan?
We actually, there's this, Houghton Mifflin has published this small trim size brown leather. It looks like the King James Bible. It has gold gilt edges. We're calling it the secular Bible as we sell it to people. Oh, you're buying the secular Bible. The Hobbit.
What about Anna Karenina? That's a movie that's gotten a lot of attention.
Definitely picking up sales.
Yeah.
Again, there's a beautiful movie tie-in edition with Keira Knightley on it. But we're steering people towards the...
We didn't even stock the... Yeah, I just love the jacket art of the old edition in the new translation. But, you know, people are a little reluctant to pick it up because it is like 700 pages.
Yeah, it's a great book,
but it's one of the best novels of all time. Yeah. Absolutely. People should definitely read it. And I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm really looking forward to it. I understand it's a really interesting take on the story.
Okay, and my Anna Karenina story is I was reading it on the metro in Washington, D.C. and missed my stop.
Yeah.
Woke up from the book basically a couple stops later. So
it's
a great book. Let's go to our listeners, and then I want to ask both of you guys a little bit more about nonfiction. Our number, 1-800-892-6477, and Robin's waiting in Wilton. Hi, Robin. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hello. Thank you. I would really love to recommend the Richard Burton Diaries that are edited by Chris Williams.
The Richard Burton Diaries. Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, it is a really engaging read. He was such a literate individual and had wonderful observations about his life.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Robin.
Yeah,
Michael.
Dan, our friend Adina Siegel will be happy to hear that.
Of course she will.
Yeah, she's the rep for Yale, Harvard, and MIT Press. And have you got it?
Is it on your top list, Dan?
Dan was pulling out a different book.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the Richard Burton Diaries have gotten a great attention, and what a remarkable life story.
Yeah. Other sort of celebrity biographies, Dan?
Well, this isn't a celebrity biography, but I am going to counterpunch with Ty Burr, who is one of the Globe's film critics. He has an amazing new nonfiction book out. Just came out this fall. It's called Gods Like Us on Movie Stardom and Modern Fame.
Oh, okay.
And it is all about how our concept of identity is informed by the process of stars being made in early Hollywood and then the technology changing and people's identities and images just constantly shifting over the course of the past 100 plus years. Ty Burr has written a brilliant book. It's a gorgeous book. It has a photo of Marlon Brando on the cover and a photo of Meryl Streep on the back. And it's just – it's amazing. Ty Burr is my – genius film guy that I go to. I love his reviews, and he has written this brilliant book.
So it's not just about the shaping of the movie stars themselves. It's how their shaping shapes us? Is that what you're saying, Dan?
It's about how the movie industry's shaping of the creation of stars was both informed by technology as well as by the process of people. It's very complex, but it's this incredible book. And he also talks about how now that the web is – everyone can be a star on the web, so now this process has shifted to the entire population and people are creating their own identities on the web. And it's just – it's a fascinating book about Hollywood, how identity is created in individuals, and about technology. It's amazing.
Well, and Robin, since you like the Richard Burton Diaries, that one might grab her attention too. Thanks for the call, Robin. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. If you've got questions or, like Robin, recommendations among the best new books to give or to get this season. Also, again, if you're looking for somebody on your list and you need some help buying for that particular person, give us a call. We can probably help you out. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Other nonfiction, Michael, that you want to talk about on your list?
Yeah, shifting gears a little bit. There's The Bluebird Effect by Julie Zickafoos. Uncommon Bonds with Common Birds is the subtitle there. She's been rescuing birds, making homes for birds, just carrying on sort of a conversation with birds, not in a schmaltzy or emotional way, because she acknowledges the differences between the species, which are very great. But she's been forging bonds with them for 40 years.
Wow.
And her book is called The Bluebird Effect, and it's full of wonderful illustrations and just chapters about different birds, different individual birds. It's a wonderful small coffee table book, really. And if you've got a naturalist on your list, somebody who loves nature writing, somebody who loves art, this book is a great gift for them.
So it's a beautiful cover. Is she local, Michael?
She lives in Ohio.
Yeah.
She went to Harvard and then went back to the Midwest.
Other pretty coffee table books, Dan, that are on your list. That's sometimes a favorite.
Well, our favorite book this year, we always pick one book that's kind of about books as a gift book. And there's this great My Ideal Bookshelf. The art is by Jane Mount, and it's edited by Thessaly LaForce. Jane Mount actually takes commissions from people to paint their ideal bookshelf. So these are all paintings that she's made of people's ideal bookshelves. And the people choose their books. And some of them are celebrities, and some of them are, literary people. And some of them are just, like regular people. But there's these amazing paintings of spines of books all lined up. And it's really captured the imagination of our staff and our patron base, and everyone's putting together their ideal shelf of books if Jane were to paint their shelf.
Well, and
so it's a lot of fun.
30 years from now, will anybody have a bookshelf to paint? I mean, given that people are reading on Kindles and e-readers and other things like that.
I thought we weren't going to have this conversation today.
Sorry, but it's so obvious. I mean, my ideal bookshelf, these classic pictures of classic books like Anna Karenina or whatever.
Here's my take on that.
People are still buying books. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, here's my take on that. E-books are a wonderful augmentation to the codex, but the e-book is the scroll supercharged. It is not a superior technology to the codex, which is the physical book.
Very well said.
So, yes, wonderful when you're traveling for convenience, but physical books still make a room.
if you look at what happened to the music industry, sadly, there was a precipitous decline in CD sales because of the advent of digital technology and everybody moving on to the Apple device. That hasn't happened in books, and it's not going to happen. The rate of change is slow. It's going to be slow enough for the industry to adapt to it, and there will be books 30 years from now, and there will be bookshelves to paint.
And the fact that the music became almost entirely download hurt music sales because it was no longer a physical thing in the environment. Some people who aren't that passionate about music have forgotten about listening to music in their life because they don't trip across a record store or a CD store. They're more sort of in the middle. So I think that hasn't happened with books, and I think the publishers really take the example of the music industry to heart, and they know that books need to maintain their physical place in our environment for them to do well.
That's a good segue to another book I'd like to recommend. David Byrne, the frontman for the Talking Heads, has written a book called How Music Works, and that's exactly what it is. It goes from prehistoric origins of music. It analyzes Madonna's contracts, how animals can make music. It covers that whole digital versus analog piece. He's written the whole story. He writes about how to create a successful nightclub.
That's fascinating.
It's a broad approach to music. It's not really a memoir, although his own personal experiences definitely sneak through. But he's one of rock and roll's true intellectuals, and he's written a great book about how music works.
How good a writer is he? He's not very, somebody that would spring to mind as a great.
He's a good writer. He's a good writer. And his writing is kind of like his music. If you find his music. If you find the lyrics, interesting, you'll find this writing interesting.
He wrote a great book last year that talked about his bicycling.
Bicycle
it's called Bicycle Diaries,
yeah.
And it was a great-selling book, well written.
Yeah. Our phone number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or on the exchange page at nhpr.org. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. Waiting in New London is Alice. Hi, Alice. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to know what the boys know about one cubic foot. It was recommended in this week's New York Review of Books, and I saw something on the internet about it, too.
Wow. Oh, I haven't heard about that. One cubic foot, guys.
She stumped the boys.
Really? You guys don't know anything about this book.
I'm dimly recalling something, but I'm not able to speak to it.
Yeah. All right, Alice.
Nice job, Alice.
Yeah, really. You stumped the guys. And they've got tons and tons of books here and tons more on their list. But
will you
Alice,
come work for us?
I'm sorry we couldn't help you out with that. Our number, again, is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Okay, gentlemen, so usually I don't talk about my personal preferences on the air, but I'm going to go on a limb today. On my own, I only read fiction because my job is all nonfiction. So why would I want to read another piece of nonfiction when I have a little bit of free time? So what do you got for me this year? In addition to those that we talked about earlier, the three that your lists share, Sweet Tooth, The Roundhouse, and Flight Behavior, those are the three that are on both Michael and Dan's lists. But Michael, what else is getting attention from you and your staff in terms of nonfiction?
Well, are you the customer, Laura? Because it depends.
Yes, let's right. triangulate this.
Right.
Well, I would take a look at Chris Bajalian's new book, The Sandcastle Girls. Chris calls it his most important book.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Vermont author.
He's
comes
Vermont,
to New Hampshire a lot.
That's right. He does. He does. It's a story that veers back and forth from 1915 to the present.
Wow.
And it's about the theme is the Armenian Genocide, and it's got a secret that was buried for generations. It's got. It's got love stories and the basic premise is, how do you kill 1.5 million people and nobody knows about it? And the answer is you kill them in the middle of nowhere. And that's what happened with the Armenian Genocide. And this is a book that's gotten Chris a lot of great publicity and press, but it's been viewed as a masterpiece in that community.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you write about, something that is so deep and personal to a right. particular community, you can mess up.
Right, you can, but Chris didn't. He's written a very good book.
And, is this personal for him? Does he have Armenian roots?
Yeah.
Okay, give us the name again.
The Sandcastle Girls.
Okay. Dan, how about you?
Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you, what's your all-time favorite book?
I love them all. Like my children,
what's
I love them all.
What's the last book you read that you loved?
I actually just finished Life of Pi.
Okay.
Which was fun.
The movie that is amazing.
Yeah.
They did a great job translating that. I'm going to go with, based on that, I'm going to go with a book that Stephanie Kuiper has read, and it's called Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And she wrote about this. I love this book. It is wonderful and hilarious. Do not put it down. I repeat, do not put it down. What if you lose it? What if someone steals it? What if it spontaneously combusts? Trust me, you will be devastated. Keep it close. So you've got to read Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
There's a couple more that were on a lot of the other lists that I looked at from New York Times, Huffington Post, USA Today, publishers and so forth. A lot of people are raving about Hilary Mantel, Bring Up the Bodies, part of her series on Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn from the point of view of Thomas Cromwell. This has been big, this whole series that she's done, right, Michael?
Definitely huge, yeah. I didn't want to recommend that as a gift because it's a little tricky recommending the second book in a trilogy.
Sure,
because
the
then you also
have
to
first.
And they're like 500 pages each, so it's kind of tricky. But this is some of the best historical fiction that's ever been committed to paper. Wolf Hall End, Bring Up the Bodies, just marvelous. It captures England at that particular moment when it was moving from being just an insignificant backwater to a world empire. And this is how it happened in the character of Thomas Cromwell, who's vilified in the Bolt play. The heck is it called?
Man for All Seasons.
Sorry, thank you.
That's the frame.
I had one of
the
those.
Man for All Seasons.
Yeah, Cromwell's the villain in Man for All Seasons, but not in these books. He's the hero, and it's fascinating historical fiction.
Interesting, and the critique that I've heard, Dan, is despite that this relationship and this period of time and this, whole time of palace intrigue surrounding Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn. Some people have said, how can you possibly write this in a fresh, compelling way, and yet Hilary Mantel has managed to do it?
Well, first of all, she's a great literary novelist. Both of these books have won Booker Prizes. It's the first time a sequel has won a Booker Prize, mm-hmm. as well as the original. Cromwell was Henry VIII's fixer, but he was this incredibly complex, amazing man. And he was vilified in A Man for All Seasons. He's just kind of this schlub in that play. But Hilary Mantel says, no, he's actually the interesting guy. It's not Thomas More, the saint, who's interesting. It's Cromwell who's interesting because he's the one that's going to help Henry VIII not just get what he wants, but project England onto the world stage.
Well, Moore was the fanatic. Moore was the fanatic, and Cromwell was the more modern man, the more modern thinker. And she really gets into his head. It's great reading.
Okay, so speaking of England, I'm going to ask you about a beloved British author who I don't think showed up on either of your two lists, and that's J.K. Rowling. She has a new adult book out, The Casual Vacancy. Is that on your list? Great. Go ahead, tell us about that,
Well,
Michael.
It's on my list because a couple of my staff members read it and said, you know, this book is better than it needed to be because it was going to sell a ton, you know, just because of the Harry Potter phenomenon. But, you know, it's about an insignificant election in Great Britain. You wouldn't think it'd be captivating, but she's her narratives are very character driven and plot driven, and she manages to weave all these complicated relationships together into a really good story. So it's a great gift too.
There's another one too that's gotten a lot of attention. I wonder if it's on your list, Dan. Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn.
It's not on our list. It was published earlier in the year. I think it might have been on the summer reading list that I had when we met in June. But it's a book that's selling very well. Gillian Flynn wrote two previous books that were very dark and were kind of niche cult favorites. Yep. And Gone Girl is the breakout book. And
deserved it. She's a very dark and disturbing and funny writer.
and she's got this character in this Gone Girl book who's very dark and disturbing and has kind of replaced Elizabeth Salander as the dark, disturbing literary character.
Nobody will ever replace Elizabeth in my affections.
She's the dark character in the
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Thank you, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Right. And one more, I think this might be on your list, Michael. This Is How You Lose Her?
Oh, yeah, Juno Diaz.
On your list,
It is, yeah. Juno Diaz is, you know, if you've got anybody that's sort of younger on your list, now I'm speaking from the, you know, from the perspective of middle age, but if you, and I hate to say that, but it's true. But anyway, yeah, Juno Diaz is a young, vibrant voice. He's written a collection of interlinked short stories about a character that's sort of his alter ego, and it's all about his triumphs and his whatever the opposite of triumph might be. In love. And he's just got a great voice. It just carries you along. You just can't stop reading this guy.
Other fiction that you want to quickly recommend before the break?
I would be remiss if I did not point out that we occasionally, every few years, we'll have a Water Street Bookstore Book of the Year. This year's Book of the Year is Art of Hearing Heartbeats by Jean-Philippe Sendecker. Our bookseller, Jean-Paul, has sold hundreds of these books to our customer base. Our patrons are passionate about it. They are recommending it to each other. It's gone viral in Exeter and the surrounding area. Jean-Paul has been a one-man. So you got to read Art of Hearing Heartbeats, a big, passionate, wholehearted book.
And again, if you're driving down the highway and can't jot any of this down, no worries. It's all at nhpr.org. Coming up, we'll take a lot more of your calls, so stay with us.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from Jaguar Exeter, introducing instinctive all-wheel drive on the new 2013 Jaguar XF, an innovative blend of design and technology built for New Hampshire driving, jaguarexeter.com. And Bank of New Hampshire, proudly serving New Hampshire families, businesses, and communities for 182 years. We love New Hampshire. BankNH.com. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
Don't miss out on any more of NHPR's 12 Days of Drawing. I'm Chris Jensen, NHPR's North Country reporter. If you're a skier, then our Day 8 prize is for you. 4 lift tickets to Bretton Woods Ski Area. Enjoy a day in the heart of the White Mountains and the fresh air and stunning view that entails. Put your name in the hat to win this prize and to support the new service that keeps New Hampshire connected at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. And thanks.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual holiday book show, and we're talking with bookstore owners about what's selling this holiday season at their stores. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. If you need help finding something for that someone on your list, or if you've just heard a lot about a new book of 2012 and you want to know a little bit more, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. And gentlemen, going over to Putney, Vermont, Casey's on the air. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm actually looking for a present for my partner. We both read a lot of graphic novels, but not like superhero style, more like really fantastic storytelling and beautiful art. The last book that we got that we just fell in love with was Craig Thompson's Habibi. And I'm sort of looking for something in that same vein, something to kind of really, something jaw-droppingly wonderful.
Just a small request, Casey. Jaw-droppingly
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, no big deal.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Either of you, Michael, Dan?
Thompson has a new book out called Blankets, I believe, which you might want to look into. There's a graphic novel that's been very well received. I'm not sure if it's really good as a gift, but because it's very dark and it tells a story that's really got some hard edges to it. But Are You My Mother by Alison Bechdel it's been a very good graphic novel this year.
Wow, based on that children's book, Are You My Mother, where there's a little bird and he meets a crane and not even close.
No, I know, although they share a title.
You know, this is graphic novels in general, Dan, have been growing in popularity, though, recently.
They have. I have a couple of booksellers who are passionate about them, and I wish I had them here in my pocket. The New York Times did name one of their top 10 as a graphic novel for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Chris Ware's Building, which is this gigantic multi-narrative multi-book. It's one book, but it's got multiple books in it. It's amazing.
Building Stories by Chris Ware.
That's right.
This is on every list I saw.
He's deconstructed the graphic novel and put it back together, which is pretty much what he always does. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He's got this weird sort of quirky sense of narrative. If I could bootstrap to a fiction book on my list, which is Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan, this is like the literary equivalent of a graphic novel. There's no graphic in it, but it's kind of got the meta thing going, and it's just Sarah, who is one of our graphic novel people, read Mr. Penumbra, and she loves it. So if you're a graphic novel person, you're looking for a novel, check out Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan.
Another book, Laura, that sort of uses elements of the graphic novel is Ann Carson, who's a well-known classicist and translator, has written an adaptation of Antigone that has a lot of graphic novel elements. It's illustrated beautifully and mysteriously, and it's more of an adaptation than a translation, but it's one of humankind's most important and early stories, the Antigone story, and it's beautifully illustrated, and it's kind of a weird little book. If you've got somebody on your list who's like a college student who thinks he knows more than you do, give him this.
Are you speaking from personal experience there, Michael?
No, never.
Well, nope. Casey, lots of food for thought for you there. And again, nhpr.org is the website. So if you missed some of those titles that we mentioned, you can go there, and good luck. And let's go next to New London, and Deidre's on the air. Hi, Deidre, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a big proponent of strong women, and a lot of the popular novels, I think, today sometimes or in the past 10 or so years have been about women that are victims, you know, and then it's sort of the last chapter, they get their strength, and it's, oh, my goodness, they're wonderful. But I like a strong woman right from the beginning. Maybe not everybody doesn't know that. If there's a mystery or a romance, I'm not sick of, but I've read too many of Nora Roberts' books, and I'm sure there's something other than that.
Great. So, great question, Deidre. Feisty women. What do you think, Dan?
Well, Oprah has just chosen for her book club 2.0 The 12 Tribes of Hattie by Ayanna Mathis. And actually, Stephanie Kuiper, our marketing manager and bookseller, has read this book. And she said, you know, Oprah doesn't always get it right, but she nailed it on this one. This is a great book about a strong woman who flees Georgia as part of the African-American migration north in the 20s. And Oprah liked it, and more importantly, Stephanie Kuiper liked it.
Again, she works at your store. Feisty
Laura,
woman books?
I would point you to a nonfiction book. There's a book called Up, which is the subtitle is A Mother and Daughter's Peak Bagging Adventure by Patricia Herr. And it's a mother and daughter team. They team up from the earliest years to bag all 48 of New Hampshire's peaks. And it's a real bonding experience. They're obviously strong women. and it's their story.
Yeah, you got to be strong to bag all those peaks, especially dragging a kid along with you.
You think?
All right, great. Deidre, I hope that helps. And by the way, gentlemen, a caller called in earlier asking about a world in one cubic foot. Several listeners, and hey, I want to thank everybody who did this. This is great. They sent in information on this book because we weren't sure. So let me just share a little bit of that with you for the person who called. A World in One Cubic Foot, esteemed nature photographer David Littleschwager, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, took a bright green metal cube, measuring precisely one cubic foot, and set it in various ecosystems around the world, from Costa Rica to Central Park. Working with local scientists, he measured what moved through that small space in a period of 24 hours. He then photographed the cube's setting and the plant, animal, and insect life inside it, anything visible to the naked eye. The result, this review says, which is from the University of Chicago, the result is a stunning portrait of the amazing diversity that can be found in ecosystems around the globe. I thought it was about something like that. It did ring a little bell with me. So glad that person called, and here's the information. I hope they're still listening.
And to your point about the callers and the listeners, an independent bookstore is only as great as its booksellers and patron base. Together, that creates this amazing community, and we're replicating that community this morning.
Yeah, and thanks again to the person who sent in that information. Here's an email from Pam who says, is the new Lego book interesting for an adult who still uses Legos? I had seen that Lego book out, given that I've got two boys who still play with Legos.
I'm assuming that they're referring to the biography of the Lego phenomena, which is A Million Little Bricks.
Ah, okay.
And it's a great kind of story of the corporation and the phenomena, the cultural phenomena of Legos. We've sold a bunch of it. And we actually have been selling it in the children's bookstore in our permanent Lego display. There's so many books that are out about Legos.
But is it a book for kids?
It's a real crossover phenomenon, you know, a bright, motivated kid. Absolutely. Yeah.
Really? You know, just about how the whole Lego company took off?
And, if you're an enthusiast, it sort of it defies age barriers.
All right.
So I'm hoping that's the book they're referring to.
Pam, thanks a lot. And again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post your comments on our Facebook page and on the exchange page at nhpr.org. And all the books that we talk about this hour, plus all the books on Dan's and Michael's lists, will be on our website, nhpr.org. You can give us a call now, though, with your questions or comments at 1-800-892-6477. And Deidre called earlier asking about a book featuring strong women. Do you find, Michael, that sometimes customers come in and say, look, I need a guy book or I need a gal book?
They do. Well, sometimes with the guy books, they'll say, well, you know, I'm really trying to get Uncle Ralph to read. He doesn't read very much. He's just always in business and, you know, he's not. And like one great book for that this year is the new Dave Eggers, A Hologram for the King. It's sort of like death of a globalized salesman. You know what I mean? It's it really captures like sort of the American business spirit right now. I don't know how Eggers did it because he's obviously never been in business except of course with his own publishing house. So I guess he has, but it's a marvelous book that really captures a kind of a male perspective, sort of like the redundant worker. You know, somebody whose job is being threatened by the Chinese competition, something like that.
But it's fiction.
It's fiction. Yeah, yeah. It's about this guy who goes overseas to pitch a project in an Arabian country, and you know, he doesn't. You know, you can tell from the beginning that he's not going to get it. But no spoilers there. But it's a marvelous narrative. It's a great book. And another book to recommend for guys this year is Dennis Lehane's book, Live by Night. It is a magnificent gangster novel. It's got everything you would want, everything. Great characters, wonderful scenes, some of the best scenes ever written in a gangster novel. So for the guy on your list, I mean, that's a knockout.
That's saying a lot, too.
Yeah.
And Dennis Lehane, I know, a favorite for both of you. He's been on your lists before. Yeah, guy books, gal books, Dan.
Well, just to reaffirm Michael on the Dennis Lehane is our modern master, and Live by Night is just it's a great book. I didn't put it on my best list, but I loved it. Hey, for women and for men who are in touch with their inner feminine, I love Cheryl Strayed's Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail. I actually pumped this book for summer reading in the summer reading program, but Cheryl Strayed is this amazing woman who lives wholeheartedly And she decided that she had to kind of make up for the fact that she was afraid of life. She lost her mother. She decided to walk the Pacific Crest Trail alone. I cannot recommend this book highly enough. It's Wild by Cheryl Strayed. And don't miss her book of advice columns from the rumpus.net, which is called Tiny Beautiful Things. She is the most incredible advice columnist who has ever written.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Better Beautiful, than Dear Abby.
She puts Dear Abby to shame. Tiny Beautiful Things is the most wholehearted, heartfelt advice columnist going. Got to read it. Tiny Beautiful Things. And speaking of wholehearted and great books for women and men, Brené Brown, someone sent me a TED video of Brené Brown. She's a PhD and social worker, therapist type, who has done all of her research on what makes people succeed greatly. And it turns out that what makes people succeed greatly is having the courage to be vulnerable. And so she's written this book called Daring Greatly, which is my new passion. I'm trying to hand this book to everyone.
Now, is that a sort of pop psychology book? Is it a novel? What is it?
It gets shelved in the self-help section, but it is so much more than a self-help book. Just check it out. Check out the TED video. Brené Brown, B-R-E-N-E, and then Brown, of course. The book is Daring Greatly, but if you watch the TED video and you're taken by it, you got to read the book.
All right. Let's take another call, and let's see. This is Walt in Concord. Hi, Walt. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead, Walt.
Hello. I've noticed that there's a dearth of science books, and I'd like to recommend two of them.
Sure.
One is called Energy for Future Presidents by Richard Muller, who's a PhD physicist at the University of California in Berkeley. And the other one is by Robert Hazen called A History of Earth.
A History of Earth. Yeah, go ahead.
Both of them get into science at a beginner's level. They do not get really in-depth with formulas and calculations and things like that. They're all, I think, really worth reading, but they are right on in what they're reporting on.
Well, Walt, thanks a lot for the call. And, you know, without naming names, I've got a science geek on my list, so I appreciate that. Other sort of, I don't want to call them geeky, but for lack of a better word, Michael, for the really smart, geeky person in your life.
The smart, geeky, well, why does the world exist? An existential detective story.
That was on a lot of lists this
year. Yeah, it's a staff pick at the bookstore. The ultimate question of why is there something rather than nothing? You know, you wouldn't think you could answer it, but Jim Holt has written a book to try to answer that question. And it's a fascinating read. It doesn't really come up with any definitive answers, obviously, but it is like the most basic question of existence. So.
Yeah, a lot of people really like that book, though, way he took a comprehensive examination of this question from all different points of view. So,
yeah.
Did you want to recommend some kids' books? And by kids, I'm going all the way from, you know,
I'm waving
young
children's
readers,
books at Laura.
Children's
How
all
did
the way up
know?
To.
because a lot of gift giving at Christmas is for kids. We better
absolutely.
Cover.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. Before we close out, we absolutely should. And,
unless you want to go an extra hour.
I'd love to, but I'd get in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Kids, why don't you start with the you want to start with the teenagers and then move our way down?
Yeah, we'll move down. So our YA pick, and I'm just going to give you the title and the author.
YA being young adult.
Yes, that's correct. Cruel by Jennifer Albin is our new YA dystopian pick. Heather, who is
Answer to the Hunger Games.
Heather Robichaud, our children's bookseller and foremost young adult reader, is recommending Cruel.
And spell cruel because it's not spelled the right way.
C-R-E-W-E-L by Jennifer Albin with a G. Jennifer.
Okay, young adult Michael.
Yeah, I want to go to The Last Dragon Slayer by Jasper Ford. It's definitely fantasy, but Jasper Ford might be familiar to some of your listeners as the author of the Thursday Next series for adults. And he won't use one pun if he can use three. He's a very funny and engaging writer. This is the story of Jennifer Strange, who's a teenage foundling who runs the Kazam Mystical Arts Management. Wizards, their powers failing worldwide. Now their powers are only used for simple home repair and pizza delivery, things like that. it's a real romp through that whole fantasy genre, and we recommend that pretty highly.
So how wizards got their groove back.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice book. Nice. You could do this.
Wizards get their groove back. Oh, thank you.
For middle grade, our favorite book is Wonder by R.J. Palacios.
Yeah, it's a book.
Just this incredible, again, great kind of heartfelt book about a young man who has some disabilities, and how
it's a chromosomal abnormality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how a group of people reach out to include him. It's Wonder by Palacios.
It's a great anti-bullying book.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a teacher favorite. They're the ones that brought it to us and said, you all have to read
this.
Oh,
really? Wow.
So, yeah, our community of teachers, which is very important to our children's bookstore, brought it to us and said, you need to recommend this book to everyone. So, again, it's a big community.
Yeah. Okay, so for the little guys and gals.
Picture books. I'm just going to read titles. Black Dog by Levi Pinfold. Amazing. Night Song. And there's a great little bat on the cover. So Night Song, one word. And Chris Van Dusen has become a house favorite for us. And his latest book is If I Built a House. He writes wonderful, rollicking, funny picture books for young children.
Speaking of rollicking, Becky Rule, right?
Becky Rule, local storyteller, beloved New Hampshire storyteller, has written her first picture book called The Iciest, Diciest, Scariest Sled Ride Ever. And it lives up to its name.
And speaking of beloved, we have to close out, gentlemen, with Donald Hall, Christmas at Eagle Pond. Just wonderful and newly out. Always great to have something from Donald Hall, Michael.
Don has written, it's sort of a new form for him. It's a fictional memoir. He's given himself the Christmas at Eagle Pond that he never had back in 1940 when he was a kid. He always wanted to spend Christmas there, but he never really got a chance to. And now he's written it. So it's a wonderful story, and it's the trim size. It almost fit in a stocking. It's a beautifully produced little book.
And last but not least, Gene Robinson has a new book out, Dan, and we're going to be talking to Bishop Robinson on Thursday about his book.
Oh, that's fantastic. This is the most amazing, warm, loving book. God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage by Bishop Gene Robinson, who is not just our teacher and our leader, but he's also our beloved brother.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Bishop Robinson on Thursday. It's gone way too fast, guys.
It is so much
Happy
fun.
Holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Happy holidays, Laura.
I really appreciate you gentlemen coming in. Thanks a lot, Michael, for being here.
You bet. Always a pleasure.
Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. Dan Chartrand, good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And again, all the books we talked about this hour, plus Dan and Michael's picks for 2012, will be on the website nhpr.org. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, an astronomy update. The Voyager 2 spacecraft, launched in the late 70s, reaches the very edges of our solar system. Ice has been found on Mercury. A planet has been found orbiting our closest star, and the Geminid meteor shower in mid-December is expected to impress. We'll look at the most out-of-this-world stories happening in space. Email us at nhpr.org and join us for The Exchange, tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show.